Praise and glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands to Him. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to see you, God. High and lifted up, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Trying to avoid technological interference here. Being in IT, when something breaks, you got to fix it right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good this morning. And I'm so thankful that the Lord is with us this morning. Amen. Felt God when we walked through the doors. Amen. It is as if He was waiting for us to praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. And it's so good to have all of our guests. There's some familiar faces. I know that most of you have been here before, but some that have only been here a couple of times. And so for that, thank you for coming. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. Praise God. Let's go to the word of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 5. And this is a little bit more of a lengthy reading, Ephesians 5, 8 through 16. And I would ask you, if you have the physical ability to stand during the reading of the word, just for this first portion of scripture, would you stand with us in honor to God's word? Can you please do that? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5, and I'll let you be seated as quickly as possible, I promise. Amen. Ephesians 5, 8 through 16, it says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Amen. Very deep passage of scripture here. Amen. But I want to bring something very simple out of this. And that is, my title today is On Purpose. On Purpose. Can we pray together, Lord? I'm asking you, God, to help us, Lord. Move, Lord, upon us, God. Lord, I need you, Jesus. I need you every moment, God. Every hour, Lord Jesus. I need you, Lord, to help me, God, today. Lord Jesus, have your hand upon us, Lord. Bless us, Lord God. Bless the hearing of your word, Lord Jesus, that it would find a place in my heart, God. Lord, and help me to preach your word without fear and favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. On purpose. On purpose. Paul said, when we first started this passage, Paul said, ye were sometimes darkness. And that word sometimes actually means in time past. You were sometimes darkness, which is like, what is he calling us? Or what was he calling us from before? It was not that just that you walked in darkness, but you were once darkness. And that was what you were called. And that was what you answered to. That's when you're lost. When you're dead without God in the world. That was your identity. And being in darkness in the past, you were blind to any purpose that God had for you. So you stumbled towards no direction at all. You thought, but it was toward destruction. Purpose has everything to do with your identity. And it's how your life unfolds around you. The truth is that you will always act out on what you believe your identity is. I'm already going deep, I know. But you will always act out on what you believe your identity is. But now, in Christ, you have a new identity. You have a new name. And Paul says it in this passage, ye are light in the Lord. And light does one thing. It lets you see. Look, nobody ever walked towards a purpose that they couldn't see. And the light, Paul says, it makes manifest. It makes it visible. And the purpose that God had for you before you were ever born comes up out of the dark. It gives you vision. And where you could never see it before, you can now fix your eyes on it and begin to walk towards the purpose that God has for you. So wake up, Paul says. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And walk. Walk as a child of the light. Not stumbling around. Not confused. Not guessing. But walking. Making progress on purpose. But Paul says that the days are evil. And the moment you wake up, the moment you rise and walk, something moves in to try to stop you. There's a voice that every single one of us faces. It tries to draw us and tempt us. Amen. It doesn't make demands. That's the deceptive part about it. It doesn't shout at you. It doesn't even look like sin most of the time. But it only whispers one word into your ear. Later. Later. But don't let that volume level fool you. When God says to do something now, and the flesh says to do it later, that later is not harmless. James chapter 4 verse 17 says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's just as plain as can be. The sin that James is naming here isn't the type of sin that you commit or that you run out and do. Yeah, you're not running out to the bars. Yeah, you're not running down to the liquor store. But if you're doing that, you should stop. Amen. But that's not what I'm preaching about here today. I'm preaching about the sins of omission. Those things that God calls you to. And you just say later. It's the good thing that you knew to do. And you left it for later. You procrastinated. But I need you to hear me on this. Later is not a guarantee. No one is promised tomorrow. Don't try to trust in later when God wants you to do it right now. Don't count on later, because later is not certain. I learned this. I was in the Navy. I had the opportunity to serve, and it was a privilege. But when I went into the service, I was a rebellious, lazy teenager when I joined. And some of you met me back then. Praise the Lord. I wanted to do my own thing when I joined up. But by the time I left the Navy, I was a disciplined, motivated young man with a purpose. And one lesson that I'll never forget from the military is that it handed me a tool against the deception of later. And it's a short thing. And if you were in the military, you'll know what I'm talking about. Don't wait to obey a command. When you are commanded to do something, do it right now. It's simple. And I have to admit that I have to continue to remind myself of that principle. If you don't do it now, don't count on yourself or someone else to do it for you. Recognize, if you recognize the need, instead of doing it later, move on it right now. And one of the founding fathers, I know it's the month of July, so one of the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, he said this, never leave that till tomorrow, which you can do today. He wrote that in Poor Richard's Almanac. He's trying to show people how to get out of poverty. Don't leave till tomorrow what you can do right now. Look, if a journey of 1,000 miles or 1,000 feet, if you're ever going to reach that destination, you'll have to do it on purpose, one step at a time. And I know you're not going to make the full journey from here to glory all in one day. But I hope to get this across to you today, to take one step today towards your purpose in God. One step. Do one thing today that's going to help you. On purpose. Look, we all need to grow. We all need to make progress. Amen. If a tree's not growing, it's dying. If we're not growing, I'm not talking about physically. If we're not growing spiritually, amen. If we're not growing mentally, you just kind of stop progress. You don't make any progress. You're not going to take the next step. If a child's not growing, the parents take it to the doctor and they get pretty concerned. We all need to grow. But some of us need to heal before we can grow. And both growth and healing takes time. But neither one of them happens by accident. Growth doesn't change like the weather. Well, today it's cloudy and tomorrow it's sunny. No, that's not how growth works. Healing doesn't just drift in with the changing of the seasons. I know somebody said, well, I'm in a season of healing. Well, okay, that's good, but will your healing lead to your purpose? Will your healing lead to your growth? If you need healing, you've got to get yourself into the position where you can be healed. And spiritually, what that looks like, it's submission to God's will and to His hand. He's the great physician. He's the maker of us all. Amen. So if you need healing, don't wait for healing. Don't say later, when God can heal you right now. He can heal you physically. He can heal you emotionally. He can heal you spiritually. But you've got to get yourself to Dr. Jesus. Amen. You got to get yourself in a position that you say, God, I need healing and I need it right now. I know somebody needs healing today. If you can lift up your hands right now and you can say, Jesus, You're the Lord of my life. I put it in Your hands today, Lord. I submit my will to Yours, Lord God. I need Your healing, Lord God, and I need it right now, Lord. And I know You're able, God, and I know You're willing, Lord Jesus. I want to grow, God, so heal me today. Heal me today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Look, many will not move unless something moves them. And I know that because it's true about me. There are forces that can move us. I want to talk about three forces that can move us. Pain, reward, and passion. Those are each powerful forces. And each one is stronger than the last. And look, most of my life, I only answered to the first one, and that was pain. I didn't change when I should have. I changed when it finally hurt too bad to stay the same. And if we're honest, that's most of us in here. We don't turn around because we saw something better. We turn because the thing that we were doing has caught fire and it's burning us. Now I want you to hear me, because I'm not preaching against your pain. God uses pain. I want to be clear on this, because the pain is not God's fault. It's normally our fault, or it's somebody else's that sinned against us. Yet pain has walked more prodigals up the road home than my best preaching ever will. But you got to understand what pain is and what pain is not. Pain can drive you, but pain will never lead you. Pain only knows one direction. Away. Away from the fire. Away from the hurt. Away from the broken relationship. Away from the thing that's killing me. And it can tell you what you're running from. But it has never one time told you where you're going. And someone who only ever runs from pain will run their whole lives and call it living. You might be moving from place to place, but you're moving away from your purpose. Proverbs 13:15, this is not a mystery. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. God didn't save you to be chased through life by your own wounds. He's after something better for you. And he has two stronger forces that will get you there. Praise God. Let me bring this to my own table. Maybe I'm the only person with this problem, but I've got kids who don't want to eat their vegetables. Anybody else? Yeah, I got kids. Look, I could threaten them. Clean that plate or I'm going to give you a spanking. That's duress. And it works. But every bite is miserable. They're pouting, they're crying. And the tears are just falling right into the broccoli. That's pain. Look, it gets the job done. And it gets it done right now. But it's excruciating. It works. But tomorrow I'm going to have to do it all over again. I could bribe them. Hey, if you clean your plate, I'm going to get you ice cream. And man, they eat the vegetables really quick. That's reward. And it's stronger, of course, than the threat. But there's no ice cream tomorrow, then they're going to do the exact same thing again tomorrow. And they'll expect another scoop of ice cream tomorrow. But when their money runs out, I can't reward them. I have to get creative. I have to give them something else. The problem is I didn't change how they feel about a single vegetable. I just borrowed their obedience. You guys didn't know you were going to get a parenting class today. Amen. Or I could change their mind about the vegetables themselves. I've performed this miracle before. I know of at least two men that hated vegetables, but when I cooked them right on the grill, they loved them and asked me how I did that. Right? If you teach them that the food is good for them, if you teach them what it's doing on the inside, and you show them how good it tastes if you cook them right, you'll give them a why, and they'll eat it every time. Not miserable, not for a bribe. They'll enjoy it, and they'll grow up healthier, and we'll have all the time in the world left to eat the ice cream. That's passion. And passion is the only force that carries you all the way to your purpose. Now, disclaimer here. I still haven't figured out how to get my kids to be passionate about vegetables. Okay? So if you have that figured out, please come and see me. Actually, you could write a book and make a lot of money. Praise the Lord. But pain forces you. Reward borrows you. But purpose, notice, changes you. God's not after rented obedience. He's not threatening you. He's not a mean old man with a big stick. And he's not bribing you to come to the altar. He is changing your mind. He's giving you a why. So you serve him because you finally see it. And you keep serving him for the rest of your life and into eternity. A threat only lasts as long as the danger. A reward lasts only as long as there's a prize for you. But passion carries a purpose that will outlive this life. I made that practical, but let me make it spiritual. Under the category of pain, I could preach about hell, and you may be afraid and not want to go there. I could preach about heaven. Amen. That's the reward. And you may want the reward. But if I preach passion, if I could preach Jesus, and you'll fall in love with him, where your heart is, there you will be also. I believe in preaching heaven. I believe in preaching hell. Matter of fact, Jesus preached on hell more than he preached on heaven. And I believe those things should be preached because they are real. And I don't want to go to hell. And I do want to make it to heaven. And it's right to preach them without fear or favor. But as Paul said, we preach Jesus. He's the one you should be passionate about. And if you love Jesus, you're going to want to obey his voice. You'll repent. You'll be baptized. You'll receive the Holy Ghost. And you will avoid hell. And you will make it all the way to heaven. And you'll be there for the right reason. Because I love the Lord. And I want to worship him all my days. Amen. Does anybody want to worship Jesus? Does anybody love the Lord? Hallelujah. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard my cry. Thank you, Lord. And he delivered me from a pit. Praise the Lord. I want to show you a man who made that change, made the turn. God comes to a 17-year-old boy. And he gives him some big dreams. And these were wonderful dreams. They were not nightmares. And they showed a picture of great purpose. It was a glimpse of more. You'd think the next chapter of that boy's life would be the road up. But it wasn't. It was the road down. Does anybody know who I'm talking about today? It was a pit that his own brothers threw him into. It was a slave chain. He was sold like cattle. It was a lie told on him by a woman he would not sin with. And it was a prison cell with his name on it for doing the right thing. Every arrow that pain carried, Joseph took one after another. Now watch what this young man does in the cell. It's in Genesis chapter 39 verses 20 through 23. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not on anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You see what he did? In the middle of that prison, he didn't sit down in that cell and just rot. He didn't wait on the pain to make his nest move for him. He got up. He went to work. He carried what they handed him to carry. Anything that the prison keeper asked him to do, he did it, as unto the Lord. And the last place on earth you would look for a man to grow, a dungeon. Joseph grew on purpose. He wasn't wishing on that old dream, because a wish would have died in that prison. Joseph didn't wish his way out. He grew his way through. And I'll tell you what he did. I'll tell you what held that boy together in the dark. It was not the pain behind him. And it was not the reward in the moment. He's handed a key. Oh, what a great day. Next day, he's still in prison. Wasn't the pain. Wasn't the reward. It was the purpose in front of him. See, God had spoken a word over his life. And Joseph would not let it go. Come on, some of you, God has spoken a word over your life. God has given you a promise. God has given you a purpose. Amen. Hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to the sure thing, the word of God. Hold on and don't let go. Praise God. If God said it, it will come to pass. It's just a matter of time. Joseph faced it all. He didn't stand in the cell and tell himself that it wasn't a cell. Look, God is not requiring us to call bad things good and good things bad. When you go through trouble, that's bad. But turn to God, because he is good all the time. Hallelujah. He didn't pretend that the pit never happened. And that's the next thing about growing on purpose. It may be the hardest thing that I tell you today. You cannot move one inch forward until you tell yourself the truth about where you are. And the world has a name for this. They call it confronting the brutal facts. It's in the business books. It comes up in the corporate world. They might relabel it. I know at Pfizer they call it straight talk. But it's an old idea in a new suit, Pastor. Because God has a word for this long before it was in any business book. And that word is confession. Confession. Somebody say confession. Proverbs 28:13. Says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's not a maybe, and it's not a might. Amen. And it applies to either one. Covereth or confesseth. And you're doing one of the two right now. And there's no third option for it. You're either covering it, you're either hiding it, or you're confessing it. You're bringing it openly to the Lord. Let me tell you about a day that I found the truth about where I was. See, I grew up in the desert, Las Vegas, and most of the apartment complexes had swimming pools in them. And my apartment complex was no different, but there were these two boys, Kobe and Travis, being raised by their mom. Their dad had tried to knock over an armored vehicle and was in prison for 10 years. And they were about the same age as my brother and I. And they were bullies. They were always taking my things. If I went to the ice cream truck, I had to watch out for Colby and Travis, because they'd come running in and take away my ice cream. I was about the age of my son, 12, and I didn't want to fight them, but they always wanted to fight. Travis was the younger one. I remember him being a lot shorter than me, but he was always trying to start fights with me. But I would never take his bait because his big brother, Kobe, was taller than me and he was built like a truck. Kobe loved to fight. Well, one day, whole crowd of us went down and we were hanging out by the swimming pool. And normally the gates were locked, so we had to climb over the fence and we're all just hanging around the swimming pool. And Travis, the little one, with no warning at all, pushes me into the deep end of the pool. Now, here's the brutal fact. And this is something that I should have admitted before I ever jumped that fence. Because growing up in the desert, I never learned to swim. Now, I can swim now. I had to tread water for 15 minutes when I was in the Navy to be able to be in the Navy. So if they would have tried pushing me now, I could swim. But I never learned to swim. And I should have confessed that before I ever walked towards that pool. Had I confessed that, Travis probably wouldn't, maybe he would have still pushed me in. But had I confessed that, it's highly likely that those boys would have said, get out of here. If you come in here, you're going to drown if you fall in the pool. But, it never crossed my mind to even think about that or even say anything until my feet couldn't find the bottom and I was gulping for air and drowning in that water. Another thing we have in common is me and Pastor almost died by drowning and somebody had to save us. I didn't know I wasn't ready until I was already going down. And let me stop right there, because that's exactly where some of you are living. You've been treading water for years and calling it swimming. Going under a little bit at a time. And hoping nobody could tell that you can't swim. Look, nobody's strong enough to swim in sin. Sin leads to destruction. Nobody's strong enough to swim up that current and overcome it. But I couldn't hide it anymore. My arms were flailing. I was sinking. And I had to do the one thing that pride will never let you do. I had to cry out for help. Confession is the cry of a drowning man. It's not the strong standing up to announce that they're strong. It's not me getting up here and saying, hey, I'm facing another battle today. And I'll be all right. No. It's the sinking, finally admitting that they're sinking. And I should have said it the moment I hit the water. I can't swim. That would have been the proper confession long before I ever got near the pool. But it was actually my little brother Michael that yelled out loud what I should have been honest about from the start. He looked at the pool. He saw me flailing my arms and he's told the truth that I was too proud to say. He said, he can't swim. And you know who moved? Colby, the last person I thought would have saved me. The bully, the big one, the one I was afraid of. Colby, I can remember it in my mind's eye. Colby did like a Superman dive toward me. Colby hit the water before the words were even out of my mouth. And he pulled me up out of the deep end. And he didn't stop to think. He didn't think about my clothes were gonna get wet or my shoes are on my feet. He didn't count the cost. He just jumped in after me. And let me tell you, Colby and I were friends from that day forward. In fact, there were multiple times that a bunch of kids would try to come and fight me or bully me. And Colby would say, I'm not letting you pick on this kid. I saved his life. I had a friend that protected me from that day forward. He wasn't wasting his time to save my life until later somebody else was going to mess with me. And I've got to tell you now about somebody who saw you sinking, going down, and he came in after you. King Jesus saw you sinking deep in sin, and his love reached way down to save you. Amen. He put on flesh. He became sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be called the righteousness of God in him. Jesus saves the sinking. But the cry of a drowning man has to be, I can't swim. Hallelujah. Confession will get you up out of the water, but getting you saved from drowning and learning to swim are two different things. Colby pulled me out of the pool once, but somebody still had to teach me to swim on my own. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. They get pulled out. They get forgiven. They cried and God came. And then they sit down on the side of the pool and wait for somebody to come and motivate them. Waiting for a good service. Waiting for the right evangelist to come by. Waiting for the right person to pray for them. Waiting to go to the right conference. Waiting for someone else to light a fire under them. And when the fire dies down, so do they. Look, I want to ask you something. Did you forget that you were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire? When was the last time that you added fuel to the fire yourself and stirred up the gift of God that was in you? Look what the Bible says about that kind of waiting, sitting on the edge of the pool waiting. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. The ant has no guide, nobody standing over her, no ruler, no overseer. Nobody stands over the ant with the whip. She gets up and goes because the drive is given by design from God and it's put down on the inside of the ant. God will never drive you from the outside. He moves you from within. And I want you to hear me, because if you're a child of God, you have something better than your own willpower. When you were baptized in the name of Jesus and when you were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, he didn't come just to stop you from sin. He came in you to move you on purpose. The very Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead took up residence on the inside of you. If you think you So you don't need a taskmaster standing over you. God himself is living in you. That's your engine. That's how you'll grow when nobody is watching. So what do you do with an engine like that? Well, you have to put it to work every single day. Jim Rohn, who was instrumental in training Tony Robbins. If anybody heard the name Tony Robbins, this was like Tony Robbins' father in, you know, public speaking. But he says this: we all must suffer one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. But discipline weighs ounces and regret weighs tons. Do the disciplines now. Eliminate the regret for the future. If you don't, the regret is immense and sometimes it's beyond belief. Ounces now or tons later. And later is heavier than you let yourself believe. You will pay one of those two prices, but only one of them actually buys you any progress. And I want to get practical with you for a minute, because I've heard a lot of preaching telling me what I should do, but not enough on how I should do it. And Bishop Brian Kinsey teaches this tool. He calls it the rule of five. And I know he adapted it from different people like John Maxwell, but Brother Kinsey was the one who put it in my hands, and I'm grateful for that. So here it is. This is what he calls the rule of five. Five things every day on purpose. Number one, read, study, and pray the word. Look, you're not going to grow past a book that you won't pick up. And this is eternal. The word of God is eternal, not the ink in the pages, but the word contained within it is eternal. It will never fade away. And it dictates our reality. So you're not going to get past a book you won't pick up. So read, pray, and study the word. Write down and teach what God is teaching you. Look, the truth is that if you don't pass something on, you're probably going to lose it. But when you study and you actually have to deliver that message to someone else, you will remember it. And many times you'll grow in the process. So write down and teach what God is teaching you. And then share the vision. If I keep the vision for my life quiet, it's easy for me to not be accountable. Isn't that the truth? If I try to keep it a secret, then nobody can tell me that I'm not walking my vision. But if you share the vision and you pour it into one other person that's coming up behind you, or even share it with one person that's teaching you, you'll prosper in it. You'll be accountable to it. So share the vision. And then speak the word to a hurting heart. That's the fourth thing. Look, somebody around you is going under. Someone around you can't swim. And you got the words of life. You've got what you can show them to help them be healed and start their growth. Amen? So speak the word to a hurting heart. And then the fifth thing is reflect. Reflect. The end of the day, you can count it on one hand. Did I read and study the word? Did I share I mean, did I write down and teach it to somebody? Did I share the vision? Did I speak the word to a hurting heart? Reflect at the end of the day. Ask what God did and what you did with it. Amen? Because God gives us blessings every day. Even as simple as a breath, I thank God for the breath I have. Even as simple as a heartbeat, God gave it to me. Amen. He keeps my heart going. What did I do with it? What did I do with my breath? What did I do with my heartbeat today? What did I do with the talents that God's given me? What did I do with that word that God gave me? So look, those are 5 little ounces. Read, write, share, speak, reflect. And you know what? You don't even have to use the same 5 that Brother Kinsey has. You could build your own. Maybe it's 4, maybe it's 6. Amen. But build them and take them every day, 1 step and then the next, until the boy in the pit becomes the man in the palace. Amen. I'm coming to a close right now. The Bible tells us how Joseph made it through. Joseph would not turn that word loose, but I want you to see what it cost him to hold on to it. Psalms 105, verses 17 through 20. David is singing about the story of Joseph here. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Look at that. Verse number 19, go back. Verse number 19. Until the time that his word came. See, Joseph believed what God said so much that he said, that's my word. That's my word. That's the dream God gave me. I'm owning this word. And I know that it's going to happen. I don't see it around me. I see a pit. I see an accuser. I see a prison. I see other servants around me that are, one of them died. I see all these things around me. But I'm focused on the one thing. That's my word. And it says, look at that word, until the time that his word came. So there's a stretch of Joseph's life that he was doing nothing but waiting, feet in fetters, laid in iron, holding on to a promise that he could not yet see. And here's the hardest thing about a word from God. It's not receiving it, but it's waiting on it. The waiting is where most people turn loose. But look close. The word of the Lord tried him. The very word he was waiting on was the thing that was working on him while he waited. The promise wasn't only out ahead of Joseph. The promise was doing something in the inside of Joseph while he sat in iron, while he sat in the prison. Then one day, the king sent and loosed him. The chains came off. The door swung open. And the boy that they threw into a pit stood up, second only to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. Pit to palace. But he did it on purpose. God had a purpose for Joseph the whole time. Amen. Joseph thought he was only getting by. But somebody in this room needs to take a hold of that word until right now. You're in the iron. You're behind the prison bars. Your motives have been questioned. You've been falsely accused and you're in the waiting and you feel like the word failed you. But no, my friend, the word is trying you. The word is working on you. And if you will not turn it loose, then there's a day coming that the King sends and looses you and sets you free and puts you in your purpose. Hallelujah. Can you stand with me today? I need to tell you the truth here before we leave. You cannot step into 1 ounce of that purpose until you have been to the cross. It all starts at Calvary. Everything that I've been talking about, I'm not talking about it to lost people. I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the saints of the Most High God, the children of God, the princes and princesses of God, those who have been called, amen, those who have been saved. But if you've not been to that cross, if you're still in that situation where you've not repented of your sins, you've not had faith in Jesus, you've not been down in a watery grave, you've not come up, I want to tell you this. Jesus did not stumble onto that cross. Every step that he took up that hill, he took it on purpose. Every nail, every strike of the hammer, he did it on purpose. Amen. He saw you going down in the water that you couldn't handle, and he came in after you. And he never stopped to count the cost. He came in to save you. So if there's a cry in you today, the cry of somebody that knows they're going under, you've got to let it out. Confession is the cry of a drowning man. The lost, look at the lost, cried out on the day of Pentecost. And I want you to hear their question, because it's a confession that they did not know what to do. Maybe that's where you are. I don't know what else to do. I'm sinking. Acts chapter 2 verse 37. Hear this. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you don't know what to do, there's your answer. Repent, turn away from sin, and tell God the truth about where you are. Be baptized in that one saving name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch every sin you ever committed go down in that water, never to be remembered again. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And he'll put that engine down on the inside of you. That's the new birth. But that's where your purpose begins. Not someday, not when you feel ready, but right here, on purpose. Because I want you to remember this. If you don't remember anything else that I say today, remember this. Jesus died for you on purpose, so you can live for him on purpose. This altar is open. And if that's your cry, don't cover it anymore. Don't waste your time waiting on later, but come now. come to this altar today. If you haven't been walking in your purpose, come to this altar right now and say, God, I don't know what else to do, but Lord, if you'll come and help me, somebody come. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, God. Help the drowning today, God. Help the sinking today, Lord. God, right now we're calling on you because you're the only one that can save us, Lord. Oh, God, I love you. God, these people love you. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you today to help somebody walk on purpose, Lord Jesus, down to this altar, Lord Jesus. Make the choice, God, to serve you with their whole life, Lord God. To stop ignoring, Lord Jesus, what you're calling them to do, Lord. But God, to walk the way that you want me to walk, Lord God. To talk the way you want me to talk, Lord. To go where you want me to go, Lord Jesus. To do what you want me to do, God. Hallelujah, Lord. You planned the work, Lord God. Before I was ever born, Lord Jesus, you had a vision for me, Lord. You have a purpose for me, Lord God. To be made like you, Lord Jesus. To walk in my purpose, Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands all across this place. Amen. If you're not up here at the altar, I understand, but would you pray for somebody that is? Would you lift up your hands to heaven right now and say, God, help my brothers, help my sisters, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for them. I love you, Lord. Oh, thank you for touching us today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise and glory. Would you pray one with another right now? Would you find somebody to pray with right now and ask God to help them? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I need you, Jesus.
You more. More than words can say, I need you more. Song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, oh, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I will be by your side, 'cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more. I need you more. Oh Lord, more than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat. Oh Lord, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I will be by your side, 'cause I never want to go back to my own. Fill me once again, 'cause I need more. your presence. Come and touch your rain. Every part of me, Lord, make me new. Let your spirit come and move within. Oh, fill me once again. 'Cause I
the Lord. Awesome message. Awesome message. I think David said, teach us to number our days. Because human nature, you always just push it off a little longer, a little longer, a little longer. Before you know it, your whole life has passed you and you haven't really done what you thought you were going to do. So I'm just, there's a couple people that I'm thinking about that aren't here. It just really bothers me. But I'm sure God has put some people in your heart that you wish were really here. And when I think about all the people, like, I know there's just not enough hours a day for me to spend enough time with each one of them to try to get them to come to church, hang out with them, take them out to eat, try to do a Bible study with them, whatever. But if everyone here just tries to reach out to one person this week, tries to hang out with one person this week, Just let Jesus move through you and be your, you can be his hands and you can be his voice into their life. If we all just do our best, God's, I'm sure, putting someone in your heart right now. Just do your best to reach out to him. Love him. Don't push it off. Don't push it off. This is the way that the revival is going to be. Like, everyone's just got to do their part. God's going to speak to you in a different way. He's going to speak to me. God's going to put a burden in your heart. Someone that you just feel that they really should be here today. You just know they really would be a lot better off if they are here right now. Just reach out to them. Keep praying for them. Hang out with them. This is the harvest. And I'm just going to pray and end here, but God, I pray you just be with us, Lord, as we go through these doors, Lord Jesus, Lord. I pray your spirit would go with us, Lord. Go before us, Lord Jesus, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, just to be not distracted, Lord, by the cares and deceitfulnesses of riches, Lord Jesus, Lord, and just so many distractions of this life, Lord. But help us, Lord, to put you, Lord, at have preeminence, Lord Jesus, Lord, to be able to talk to us, Lord, at any moment, at any hour of any day, Lord Jesus, Lord. If you have a divine appointment for us that day, Lord Jesus, that we won't be so distracted, Lord, that we don't hear what your voice is saying, Lord. Help us, Lord, just to reach out and to have faith, Lord, and just speak, even if it's just one word, one Bible verse, one invitation to this church, Lord Jesus, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, just to be your hands, Lord Jesus, and your feet, Lord, to New London County, to our friends and to our family, Lord. Jesus, help us, Lord Jesus, Lord, just to serve you, Lord, with all of our best of our abilities, Lord, in Jesus.